God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. And as I take a look at this text, and if I sort of put into the picture of this text as God being the owner of the vineyard having two sons, and the children of God being those two sons, and both those sons being disobedient to God, which we are, the only conclusion I can come up with is that God must be a frustrated parent. Neither of His two sons listen to Him. I mean, come on. Shouldn't children listen to their parents? That sort of begs the question, do children ever listen to their parents? Both in our text for today disobeyed. But there was one who repented, one who had a change of heart, the one who said, no, I'm not going to go, but then that change of heart took place. You see, repentance is the key. We have to remind ourselves that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We have to remind ourselves that, yes, we do need a Savior. We have to remind ourselves we need a change from our sinful ways, and with God's help, we can, and we can live, all because of one beautiful event, the event of Jesus' death upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Let me back up a moment. You see, God is that frustrated parent. There isn't a single parent who loves disobedient children, who loves it when they become even more disobedient. We want the children to behave. We want the children to listen. Likewise, so our Heavenly Father wants us to listen. And what happens because of our own rebellion when we sin, when we disobey? God gets frustrated. I don't know about you, but when I'm at the moment of frustration, I have very little patience. Words come out of my mouth, not necessarily of love and forgiveness, but of frustration and pain. God doesn't want to deal with His children that way, just like there isn't any parent who really enjoys dishing out wrath and punishment upon children. So God has the solution. Again, it's at the cross. You see, when God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, to die on the cross, it was so that God could unleash His wrath, so God could take out His frustration, so to speak, as that frustrated parent. So God could take all the punishments that we deserve and not put them upon us. But He put them upon Jesus. Plain and simple, God does not like our sin. God does not delight in our disobedience. But He still loves us. So what is God going to do? In one essence, transfer that wrath from us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, upon Calvary's cross. So when Jesus dies on the cross, He dies for the forgiveness of our sins. So God no longer looks at us as a frustrated parent, but He looks at us with those loving, adoring eyes and says, yes, you are My children, you are forgiven. God took out His wrath upon Jesus the Christ. Now let me do some parallels here. Any of you who are parents immediately fit into this analogy. What happens when our children are disobedient? Yes, we love them. Yes, they're going to be disobedient. I know you may think you have the perfect child, but aren't there some times in some moments when they're just not quite 100% perfect? In their disobedience, do you take out your wrath upon them? Notice I'm asking the adults here and not the kids. The kids would probably say, yes, they do. But that's kids being kids. They don't truly understand your anger or what wrath you would like to deliver. Something holds you back. It's not easy being a patient parent, especially when the frustration and the disobedience of your little ones, whether they be 2 years old or 22 years old or 42 years old, are evident. Remember, the cross, however, does give us strength. Now let me explain that. You see, as we look at the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, we see how God takes away the wrath we deserve and places upon Jesus and showers us with love, with gifts of forgiveness, of joy, of peace, of eternal life. So likewise, as frustrated parents, so to speak, we just need to look to the cross of Jesus and to be reminded of our own sinfulness, to sit there and say, okay, Lord, give me the strength I need because I am your child. You died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin. Give me the strength I need to be that patient parent. Notice the direction here. It begins with the premise, I am sinful. If I didn't begin with that premise that I am sinful and I thought that I was perfect, I run into trouble. And here's where the trouble begins. Am I perfect? The answer is no. So when sinful human beings, disobedient human beings cross my path, I have to remember that, yes, I am a sinner, that I don't deserve God's grace, I don't deserve His love, I don't deserve His forgiveness, but God loves me so much He bestows that grace, love, and forgiveness upon me. Can I not also take that grace, love, and forgiveness and bestow it upon disobedient children? And if you're not a parent, don't worry, you don't get out from underneath this analogy, or for anyone else who is causing me frustration. It doesn't have to be the little ones that cause us frustration. It could be our next door neighbor. Those who are driving in other cars on our morning or evening commutes. Our co-workers, our neighbors, whoever it may be that is doing something to annoy us or that we're bothered by, where that frustration comes up. We need to understand that we didn't deserve God's love and forgiveness, but God gave it to us. Why can't we share that love and forgiveness with those around us? Let me answer my question here with the concept of that of, am I sinful or am I perfect? You see, if I understand my sinfulness, then the connection isn't too easy, is a lot easier to make. If I don't understand my sinfulness, if I think that I am perfect, I expect others to live up to my expectations. Now notice the traps that that now sets. The traps that now sets that basically saying that I have a certain level of expectation, and if you don't live up to that level of expectation, I'm going to be frustrated by your actions. And sometimes we do get frustrated with other people because we are expecting them to live up to the standards that we have set. Notice that in one essence here, the trap I'm setting is that of self-righteousness. That I've declared myself sort of the lawgiver, and I have made my own law, and if you don't measure up to that law, I'm going to be unhappy with you. I'm going to pour out my wrath. And that's exactly where our text for today is going to pin itself to. You see, to whom was Jesus talking? He was talking to the religious leaders. The religious leaders who thought that they were doing the right thing in God's point of view, and that all those sinners out there were doing the wrong thing. But notice what Jesus says. Jesus uses the example of that first child who was being blatantly disobedient by saying, no, I'm not going to go work in the vineyard, but then has a change of heart. Repentance comes in and then goes and works. And the religious leader said basically that first child was doing the right thing. That second child, however, was being compared to the religious leaders. They said that they were followers of God, but they weren't accepting of other people's forgiveness. They were not allowing the tax collectors and the prostitutes, so to speak, who were changing their ways to be part of God's kingdom. They were like that second child who was saying, we're doing God's will, we're doing God's will, but then sitting there and not doing anything at all. That's why Jesus uses this text here. Because the religious leaders were ultimately even questioning Jesus. How could they ultimately question Jesus? How could they ultimately question the Son of God, their Savior, their Deliverer? The answer, too, was that of perfectionism. Jesus did not measure up to their expectations of the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer. They didn't want someone who was going to deliver them from sin because they hadn't sinned. They thought the ultimate form of deliverance would be that of the Romans who occupied their land at the moment. So they were wanting that Messiah to kick out the Romans and to make them, as good followers of God, so to speak, the leaders and rulers. Needless to say, their own self-righteousness condemned them. They failed to realize their own sinfulness. Like child number two, they also disobeyed. Henceforth, Jesus said that the sinners, those repentant sinners, were entering the kingdom of God. Can you believe that? God focusing on the change of heart. That's the way that God does focus. Now let me take this text of ours and apply it a little bit more to our lives. What is causing the frustration in our current lives right now? Are we expecting others to live up to our own expectations, our own agenda? And when they don't live up to our own agenda, do we not get frustrated with them? Do we think of ourselves as better, as the ones who can set the agenda? Or, as we'd said in the beginning part of our liturgy when we got to the confession, I, a poor, miserable sinner. Do we understand our sinfulness, our need for forgiveness, how we have frustrated God with our imperfections? And when we realize our need for forgiveness, it helps us understand other people when they don't measure up, not only to God's expectation, but to our expectation. This will help us with not only the children, but also the other relationships we may have frustrations with. And this is one of the reasons why Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church here in West Chicago is celebrating a rally day. A rally day in which we thank and praise God for the gifts of teachers. Teachers who proclaim that Word of God, that gospel message, that message of the forgiveness of sins. Teachers who are willing to admit even their own sinfulness and to share that message of reconciliation with the students, because the students need to hear that message. From the earliest age to the latest of age, it doesn't matter. We're still in that growing stage. And so we thank God for the many teachers we have here at Trinity, the ones in our early childhood care center, from Monday through Friday, proclaiming God's Word as their living examples to these little ones, teaching them God's grace and forgiveness. Our Sunday school teachers, every Sunday morning, being available, being prepared, proclaiming God's Word in the classroom setting. And I dare not forget last summer, our vacation Bible school teachers, our Bible study teachers, even our pastor, anyone who teaches God's Word, even the parents who do teach God's Word at home. That Word must continue to be taught so that children will understand what the true gospel is all about. A change of heart. That's what our Lord and Savior is looking at. Without these teachers, we would trust in our own abilities. We'd be setting our own agendas. We'd be judging people by our own performance. And we'd be very, very frustrated people living in this world, because when it gets down to it, not only are we frustrated with other people not living up to certain expectations, do we not set the same agenda even for our own selves? Are you happy with your performance? Do you judge yourself too hardly? Do you beat up upon yourself too much? If so, again, we are drawn back to God's grace, where He comes for the love of sinners. He forgives our sins. He lifts us up. He encourages us with the precious news of the gospel that yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of not only those sinners' sins, but also your sins, even the sins, even the expectations you put up upon yourself. So we ask God to give strength, not only to our teachers, because if you've ever worked with little ones, you know they can be frustrating at times. So we ask God to fill them with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of the gospel, to share that message of God's grace and His love with these little ones, because it is the strength of God's love and forgiveness that our teachers share with these little ones as they teach. And we ask the Lord to also bestow that grace and love of forgiveness upon the teachers. And not only just upon teachers, because every Christian, as we leave this building, in one essence, we ourselves are teachers to a world around us, looking at who we are. And through us, God can also share that gospel message. So we ask the Lord's blessings upon ourselves, so that we may not be so caught up with a cynical world, with a world that can be very frustrating, but a world that is in need of God's grace. So we ask the Lord to continue to shower His blessings upon us, because we also are poor, miserable sinners. We have fallen short of God's glory. We need His grace, His love, and forgiveness. So we ask the Lord's blessings upon our teachers and upon all here in His kingdom, so that we may reflect His love and His grace to those around us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.